1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll read one verse for our text this evening. I want you to listen carefully to this verse. Here Paul, as he writes this young preacher, his son in the faith, he makes this statement. He said, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity." May we pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you tonight for the redemption we have through your Son. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we can find at your feet tonight. We ask you now that you might bless in this service. You might speak to each of our hearts. You might lift up Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I'm not going to preach tonight on drinking whiskey, so you can kind of relax. Everybody kind of don't have to worry about hiding it for a day or two, okay? Dudley won't have to blow up his still or anything, so. But I want you to notice what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He's telling him here, he said, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity. And what Paul is saying here is that you need to mix a little bit of wine into your water. Basically, what he's telling him tonight is that you need to take some medicine. Why? Now, why is Paul telling Timothy this? We could, a lot of people want to argue about the word wine there, and they want to argue about a lot of different things. I'm not here tonight to do that. I just want you, why did Paul tell Timothy to do this? Notice what he said. For thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Thine often infirmities. Now, if I read that correctly, Timothy evidently had some stomach problems, and he evidently was a very sickly individual. The Bible said he had often infirmities. I don't think Timothy was a hypochondriac. I think Timothy had a lot of illnesses, a lot of problems with his body, a lot of physical problems. He had a lot of infirmities, a lot of weaknesses that hindered him in the ministry. And Paul is saying here, Timothy, you need to take a little medicine tonight. But my question tonight is this. Paul knows and he has firsthand knowledge of what's wrong with Timothy. He knows of Timothy's infirmities. He knows of Timothy's stomach problems tonight. So I'm wondering tonight, why didn't Paul just heal him? My question is very simple. Why did not Paul heal Timothy? Now, he had healed others tonight over in the book of Acts, just to make sure we understand tonight that what Paul did in chapter, I believe it's chapter 28 of the book of Acts. You can find that after the shipwreck that Paul, of course, they wind up on the island. And they're there, Paul does something very unusual tonight. And notice what it said. I got to find my place here. I was reading it in another Bible, and it's on the other side of the page in this particular book. Notice what it said. It said, "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed." Now, I hope we all know tonight that it wasn't Paul, of course, doing the healing. It was God doing the healing, but he was using the Apostle Paul tonight to do this mighty work, this mighty miracle. And he did it there on this island after the shipwreck. And Paul healed, the Bible says, many. Well, here's Paul's son in the faith, very dear to the apostle's heart. Yet instead of healing him, and he said, take some medicine tonight. Now, I don't know about you, but I think tonight, in my heart, I would like to think that I'd be unbiased and unprejudiced, but I'm afraid tonight I would probably heal my children before I'd heal you. Now, you think about that this evening. But here, Paul didn't heal Timothy. I don't even read here where he prayed for Timothy to be healed. Now, I'm sure that he might have. I'm not saying that he didn't. But why tonight did God not heal Timothy? Here was Timothy doing God's work. He was in the city of Ephesus. A young man tonight left there as an evangelist, as a missionary, as a pastor, as a proclaimer of the gospel, as a church planter tonight. God's man in Ephesus. Yet he was a very sickly individual, and God did not heal him this evening. Now, I still believe that God miraculously heals tonight, and I still believe that even today there are times that God miraculously heals individuals. I believe even that God tonight uses medicines and doctors tonight to heal individuals. But I do also understand tonight that God doesn't always intervene. God does not always heal. Have you ever thought about that? And we can look around and, you know, a lot of people want to blame and say the individual that needed to be healed doesn't have enough faith. I don't find that anywhere in the Scripture this evening. It has nothing to do with you having the faith. I mean, why didn't God heal Desi's leg? Why didn't he heal my shoulder? Why doesn't he heal the tumor that Bruce has in his body? Why doesn't he tonight heal all of the other ailments that you and I have this evening? We can look around this evening and say, why in the world doesn't God heal individuals? Why didn't God heal that person? I thought about my friend Ellie that was in Birmingham since last October. Been through many, many, many different stages of these diseases that has run through his body and run amok tonight and caused all kinds of problems. And he was a good person, a Christian tonight, a man that loved the Lord. But God did not heal him. Why? You look around and you see others tonight that maybe God healed, but why doesn't God always heal tonight? Well, may I tell you tonight, I don't know all the answers. I really don't. I think sometimes that there are some answers that we need to realize this evening and think about. And I'll just give you a few that I believe the Scripture tonight bears out for us, and a few tonight that you can think about, and if you want to add some to it, you can do that. I think sometimes it's for our own good. Now somebody will come along and say, that sounds kind of silly, preacher. Why in the world would God not heal us for our own good? Well, I thought about a friend that I had many years ago by the name of Arizona Burns. He was a Baptist preacher from down in the southern part of the state of Mississippi, central part actually, and Arizona was a great man, good man. And he was in a car accident. And he was in the hospital, and they called the family in, and I knew his daughter. And I called her, and I said, could I come? And I went to see him. And I said, well, Arizona, I'm going to pray for you. And he was very weak. And he said, don't pray that God will heal me. And I said, Brother Arizona, what are you saying? He said, well, son, he said, many years ago, my daddy was in the hospital, and I prayed God would heal him. And he said, I prayed that God would let my daddy come home out of the hospital. And he said he did, and he suffered for another 5 years in terrible pain, went through a lot of other problems. And he said, I realized then that it's not always what I need, but it's what God needs tonight. He said, you just pray that the Lord will do what's necessary in my life. He said, it might be that it'd be better for me to go. Somebody said, that sounds kind of silly. Well, you know, sometime it might be for our own good. I thought about over in the Old Testament. There was a man by the name of Hezekiah who was the king of Israel. Or actually the king of Judah. And he got sick. God sent Isaiah to him and told him, said, you're going to die. Get your house in order. Hezekiah turned to the wall and began to pray. And before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, God spoke to him and said, go back and tell him I've added 15 years to his life. Hezekiah, during that 15 years, brought a child into this world by the name of Manasseh, one of the most evil, wicked kings Judah ever had. Sometimes, you know, God does things tonight to prevent other things. Sometimes it's for our own good. It may not look that way. It may not feel that way. And it may not always be what we think. But I'm convinced tonight that sometimes God doesn't heal people simply tonight because it's for our own good. Sometimes it's to use us more. Fanny Crosby was blinded by a doctor. She never saw the light of day again, yet Fanny Crosby wrote many of the songs we're still singing tonight. To God be the glory. Blessed assured. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Many, many others tonight that Fanny Crosby wrote this evening. God used her mightily tonight to sound the gospel, to sound the word of God out in song throughout the world this evening. Didn't heal her blindness, but he gave her a great gift during that time. Sometimes God may shut us down so he might slow us down so we can be used of the Lord. You think about that. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves, don't we? We're so wrapped up in everything we're doing. Maybe the Lord says, hey, I need to slow that individual down just a little bit. Let me teach him a little bit more about life. And so he slows us down. Joni, Eric and Prada in a diving accident. And I always have a problem pronouncing this word, so if I mispronounce it, just live with it. Quadriplegic. I know that's not the exact pronunciation, but she's basically paralyzed from the shoulders down. Yet God has used her mightily tonight as a witness and a testimony. You see, Paul Hutchison was an evangelist and holding citywide crusades countywide, and was doing great work for the Lord. They got tuberculosis and had to slow down and wrote many books tonight to encourage others. Why tonight does God not always heal all of us? Maybe tonight for our own good. It may be that he can use us more. Sometimes it might simply be to purify or refine us. Now, I know all sickness tonight, and please don't misunderstand this. It's not the chastening of God. But, you know, sometimes the Lord might use that to purify us. Job said that when I'm tried as gold, I shall be made pure. Now, I paraphrase it, but that's in essence what he said. Sometimes God runs us through the furnace to purify us tonight and to cleanse us and to refine us and to make us and mold us into what he'd have us be this evening. Might not be a pleasant experience. Usually it's not. But you know, God tonight does many things in our lives. And I wonder why? Somebody said, you shouldn't wonder why. Well, I do anyway. I'm not going to argue the validity of that claim either tonight. I'm convinced tonight that I'm a human and sometimes I'm going to ask why. You know, I'm kind of like a little child. Like my children, when I said, you can't do that, they always wanted to know why. And usually I said, because I said so. But, you know, I usually had a reason. And I will encourage you, just tell them the reason. You know, they might not like it. But why? My bee's refining me. My bee's purifying me. He's making my trial like precious gold. I'm going to come out refined and purified. I think sometime that so we can comfort others. You know, the Apostle Paul, he knew a great deal about suffering. He knew a great deal about going through a life with a thorn in the flesh, as he called it. But he wrote this to the church at Corinth in the second epistle. He said, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, verse 4, it said, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, and I hope this doesn't come across, but it's hard to sympathize with somebody till you've been through it. Now, we sympathize with them, but we really don't know the depths of the hurt. We don't know the depths of the suffering until we've been there ourselves. But when we've been there ourselves, then we can have words of comfort. We might not even have words of comfort. We might just be a person of comfort. I went over this afternoon to Ellie's house and talked to his wife just a moment. And she told me, I said, well, what happened? I said, I thought he was doing great from what I'd been reading. And he's going to be home here in a few days. And she said, well, she had left yesterday afternoon to come home and do a few things. Her sister would go by and check on him today. He was in a rehab center. She couldn't stay with him as she had been. And she said, by the time she got to Fulton, she called him, and he said he was having a little trouble breathing. So she called the nurse, and the nurse said, yeah, we're transporting him to the hospital. And he coded at the hospital and, of course, died. And she said, I'm having a guilt trip. I should have stayed there. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you not to have a guilt trip. I said, all I'm going to tell you, if you sit up here on the couch, me and you just cry together. I've never lost a spouse, but I had a little bit of a guilt trip after Carrie died. You know, still you think about things. I'm not going to tell you not to have that. Have it. But I'll sit here and cry with you. And I said, the only thing I'm going to tell you is this. I don't know how, but God will give you grace to get through it. He will, because he did that to me, and he's done it for others. And I can tell you from personal experience that God will give you comfort tonight. He will give you grace during that time. Sometimes we go through things in life tonight that God might use us as a comforter tonight to speak to somebody. And as I said, you probably don't even have to say anything. Remember what Mavis told me. She said, every once in a while, let's go out in the backyard and run or scream. I said, does it help? She said, yeah. A little bit. So every once in a while, I scream around the neighborhood there. I might just sit and cry. I'm not going to lie to you. But you see, people have comforted me. Now the Lord lets me pass that on. On what Brother Bruce told me. He said, if you want to know how to pray, let him tell you you got cancer. So he may do it to make us pray more. I'm not making fun of it. I'm not making light of it. But, you know, we need to realize tonight that God doesn't heal everybody. And I can't tell you all the reasons tonight. But I can tell you this very simple thing tonight. In the end, it doesn't make any difference. You see, there's a passage over in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings. I think it's chapter 13 and verse 14, or it's 14 and verse 13. And the Bible says that Elisha was sick of the illness wherein he died. God didn't heal Elisha. But I'll tell you what, he still got to go to glory. So tonight, I can't tell you why God doesn't always heal people. I can't tell you the answers to all of these questions tonight. And I guess sometimes it's my hobby horse, but I get a little bit of irritated and I get a little bit of concerned about these charlatans and con men that go around tonight trying to tell people that God will heal them if he'll only send them money. And that's nowhere in the scripture this evening. If I had that gift, it certainly could not be bought. It thrilled me to enter Amherst Hospital. Then I'd head to Tupelo, keep going to Memphis. I'd travel the world. I'd empty every hospital tonight. But that's not God's way. He may heal, he may not. There's one thing we need to recognize tonight. As Job said, he's still God. All right, if you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple and short message tonight and use it in our hearts. Teach us tonight that you are a loving God and you do give grace sufficient for every situation. Whatever needs to be done in each of our lives, I pray that it'll be done here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.